Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Benson holds it, fires, goal! Left side, it's loose, scores!
He is a skilled, good player. He's always disrupting, like making it hard on deep.
He's the little dog that everyone's scared of.
Rebound, scores! Dogs chase a bone, and Zach Benson gets the reward.
That bulldog mentality, man, is so freaking fun to watch.
That's a kid. He's a special player.
He's a beauty.
Keep throwing, Zach Benson in front of the net.
Buffalo is such a hockey town.
Since day one, I felt welcome, and, you know, it's been a blast.
Here's Benson in front. What a move! Score! Is a beauty to remember for all time.
It's been unbelievable. I love every guy in that room. It's truly a brotherhood. It's the tightest team I've ever been on.
He is the ultimate teammate.
Pass across, scores!
It was cool to see the city kind of rally around us. It doesn't get better than that.
Another busy day for the Sabres, capped by Zach Benson signing last night for 7 years, $7.5 million, alongside Thurman Thomas in studio today. I can't even say you're in for Marty Baron. Like, let's be real. We got the numbers in the proper order. It's 34 ahead of 43 in the studio on this day. Hall of Famer, my friend, great to see you. Thank you for being here. And I could sense when you're just watching that Zach Benson video how excited you are to see a player like that emerge with this team and now be here long-term for this team.
It was awesome. It was awesome to see. I think even after the way the season ended, you know, the things that have happened in the last couple of weeks have been really exciting for this hockey town and for this hockey team. And so glad to see he's going to be here. I think somebody said when he finishes that contract, he'll be 28. Right?
Crazy.
So let's hope between then, now, and then that, you know, this team can continue to climb with a lot of good young players on it. And like I've been telling about, this is so much fun now that we have both of our franchises here doing very well. Now, obviously, both went through the droughts, you know, but now it seems like, okay, the Sabres are on the right path. The Bills have been doing it now for about 8 or 9 years, you know, but now it seems like, okay, the Sabres are doing it, and you know what? It's so good for the city. It's so good for the soul for the city, man.
You speak with such passion and honesty, and I can't even imagine what it's like knowing that you were such a part of the development of the Bills, the growth of the Bills when you played, and then everything that you've witnessed, you know, post-career and everything you just articulated with what the Bills and Sabres have gone through over the last two decades to be at this point, not to mention a brand new stadium where the ribbon cutting happened. Like, seriously, how crazy is that for you to see that in our city now?
Yeah, it was, I can remember the day that after we had our interview with Legends and the Pegulas down in Palm Beach, and it just brought back a lot of memories, like, oh my God, you know, is this really in Buffalo?
Yeah.
And I had a part of it because we own a construction company called 34 Group, and we were a part of it. It was like, you know what? Now all the guys are texting me about what's going on in the stadium because I know, right? You know, we won't ever play in that stadium, but to have an opportunity to build and really, you know, build within. We tried to get as many local companies that we possibly could that could say, that can put on their resume that, yeah, I was a part of that.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what, you know, our goal was, and that was the goal, and we accomplished that goal. And so, no, it's been great, man, to see that. The ribbon cutting the other day was awesome to see everybody. You know, Jim and Steve Tasker was there, and, man, it was awesome. You know, and really the only, like, part that kind of upset me is that, you know, that Ken Pegula wasn't there.
Yeah.
I mean, that every time we do something of this magnitude now, it reminds me of her because she's not there, you know, and it's so, yeah, it was very touching moment. But yeah, it's great that, you know, that all of this is going on right here in Buffalo.
It really it just kind of sets up this weekend perfectly again, because obviously the ribbon cutting at Highmark is part of the news cycle, right? And you've got so many people descending on Buffalo right now for the draft this weekend, which of course now we're just, you know, about 30 hours away from a kicking off tomorrow night. The Sabres hold the number 4 pick. The Benson deal happens yesterday. Alex Tuck moves on. He goes to the Washington Capitals in a sign and trade. Yeah. And it's been a busy time going back to last week. Kesselring on the move, Byram on the move, Greenway on the move, and now Tuck. But the Sabres are sitting here with all of this opportunity again. And what is it like, having lived the experience, to go through change? Yeah. When you're good, knowing that 1 year to the next is never going to be exactly the same. And what do you think it means right now for the Sabres, sitting with the number 4 pick, the number 20 pick, seemingly an awful lot of things that they can use to improve that much further?
And I think what saying all that, and you have these young players and you have these draft picks and all of these things, I think you have to put a window in there of, like, How far can this go? Like, can it go from 2026 to 2034, which will be 8 years, right? And what will you accomplish in those 8 years? Will it continue to be a dominant team in the National Hockey League? That's what you want. You want all those. You want this team to be at the top all the time. Mm-hmm. And if it continues like. Obviously, it didn't end well like we wanted it to. But if it continues on this rise and people are excited about it, people want to come, players want to come here and play in Buffalo, they want to be a teammate of Tage and see what this town is about, I think you have a window. And I think with the guys and the moves that they've made, it's almost like the Bills. Like, Josh is getting older. He's married now. He has a kid now. Things change for, you know, try to get them changed for good, right? Mm-hmm. And so you got these young players coming in here, and we'll see how they develop. Now, these guys have been jumping on the ice 20, 21 years old. I mean, just young cats.
And like, Benson was 18 and just now 21, right? And that must be
3 years ago.
Yeah. Crazy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So I think now you have an organization now. They had a great streak, finished with one of the best records in the National Hockey League, and now players are taking notice. And I think, you know, this wave has to continue for us.
So is it hard, though, when you're a teammate and you see people go out the door, or is it more on the exciting of what's next? Or is it just simply a balance of both? It's life and you have to go through it.
Yeah, I think it's life you have to go through. I just think a balance of, you know, what are we going to do next?
Uh-huh.
Like, when Jim retired, I'm sitting up there going, what are we going to do now?
Right.
You know, the year before that, Kent Hull retired. And then Steve Tasker retired. And you're sitting there going, like, okay, the team is changing. We've had some coaching changes from going from Marv Levy to Wade Phillips. Mm-hmm. So, okay, our defense, we're still running the same 3-4 defense that we're running. We may not be running the K-gun right now, but you know what, though? I still got Andre over here. I still got Bruce on the other side. So you'll have some of those players, man, that you'll be like, yeah, change is hard. Like, the 4 years that we went to the 4 Super Bowls, only 22 guys that went to all 4 Super Bowls. You would think it would be more, but there were changes afterwards, you know, and people say, what do you mean? I said, Billy Brooks. And they're like, oh, he did play in the last Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
You know, he replaced James Lofton and, you know, and part of that deal. So, yeah, change is hard, man. But I think if you have the right mindset and the right players in that locker room, change can be fun also.
I love that you know that number of players that were there for all of them. And it's such a big roster compared to all, obviously, of the big sports. And it's the biggest. But you always look at the individuals that make up a team. What is it about Zach Benson? Because I know you follow this closely and you try to get to as many, and you've been to a lot of games, including a playoff game this year. What's the one thing you love about Benson the most that you would appreciate as a teammate?
Oh, man, just, you know, he's kind of like the Steve Tasker kind of like guy, right? I mean, just, yeah, you put 3 guys on him and he still finds a way to get it done, right? And, you know, and Benson is that type of guy. I always want to say he kind of reminds me of like a Marshawn.
Uh-huh.
Just a guy that just like, oh, my God, I hate that guy, but I love him on my team, right? And so I love his entire game. I love that he can get an entire arena chanting his name or doing something. You know what? I think it was Muhammad Ali said that they don't boo nobodies.
Correct. That's the goal.
That's the goal, right?
Right? Uh-huh.
That means that you're out there performing. You're doing whatever you can to make a lot of people upset that you're out there doing it to their team.
General Manager Jarmo Kekäläinen spoke, as he always does, with great confidence yesterday that despite, you know, watching, you know, some players leave the organization in the last week through trades, that they'll be fine. Mm-hmm. He's such a believer in the talent that they have. Yeah. What is it like for a still very young group to have to see an Alex Tuch and a Bo Byram, but in this case, the most recent news with Tuch yesterday and the sign and trade with Watt, what is it like as a, you know, members of the team seeing a guy like Tuch move on and then again finding a way yourself to move into perhaps a bigger role?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, because when Tuch was here, man, he did a fantastic job for us. And, hey, now the pressure's on whoever's going to take that spot. You know, can you deliver, you know, and be that leader? Mm-hmm. Can you deliver and be that scorer? And I think if you look at our guys, I think they want that.
Yeah.
I think they want that because those guys know, like, right now, we're one of the top five teams in the league right now. And you know that. And you have confidence. And so that's one of the easiest things to fix in a player, like, to make him believe, because he's looking around that room and seeing everybody else do their job the way they're supposed to be doing it.
Yeah.
And it just puts like, oh, yeah, I got this. Don't worry about it. Yeah, I'm, you know, I don't know if we're going to make – I don't know if I'm going to make everybody forget about Alex Tuch, mm-hmm. but I'm going to be part of the conversation.
Wow.
I'm going to be part of the conversation, like, because it's going to come up, because whoever takes that spot, and if you score and you coming out and you're scoring, you know what? Yeah, you're the guy now. You're not Alex. He's not here anymore. So, and that just builds confidence, and I think that's what that locker room has right now.
You got a kick out of the Houston hat I was wearing today as soon as you walked in the studio. There's a couple of reasons for this. Obviously, your birthplace and the fact that the NHL has talked openly this week about potential expansion and getting another team in Texas, and whether it's Houston or Austin, it remains to be seen. But you also have very strong and incredible hockey memories from the city of Houston, from its WHA days with one of the greatest to ever play the game, the legendary Gordie Howe, who just happened to lace him up with his two sons while in Houston. Like, this seemed like a vivid memory for you when you thought about hockey in Houston.
It was, because when I first got to Buffalo, Kent Hull, Will Wolford, you ever been to a hockey game? Nah, never been to a hockey game. I mentioned to them, we have the Houston Arrows back home and the Gordie Howe, you know, and so they were like, oh, okay. Go to the odd 300 level, beer and fried bologna.
Looking I was
hooked.
Down.
Yeah, exactly. I was hooked, you know? And so it became like in my stream of myself, this is something else that I do need to follow and get a hang of and get to know. And so it's been, you know, years, you know, since I even, you know, people even mentioned the Houston Arrows.
So I'm assuming then, based on how sports has evolved and just the appetite for it, that you think Houston or Austin would be a good fit for the NHL?
I think Houston would.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big enough city. I mean, we'll have it all now. I mean, we got soccer there. We got baseball, football, basketball.
Yeah.
So why not put it there? You know, and you're – I mean, it kind of – the name Austin kind of sounds a little...
But the NHL's been bold this way historically over time, right? Like they Tampa, Ottawa, certainly, but it was Canadian market, but it was still challenging at the time. But then Nashville, nobody had done that. Vegas, nobody had done that. And now everybody's following to Vegas, right? So this could be... I think it's fascinating how the NHL is going to see this thing play out.
I think it's going to come down to two things. And Houston has all the like major... oil companies that are there, and Austin has all the technology there. They're called the little Silicon Valley.
Sure.
Yeah, and they have all the technology there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean.
Burgeoning entertainment scene. Yeah. Obviously, it's been that. It's been an entertainment hub forever.
Forever.
But it just grows and grows and grows and grows. Yeah. And I think you would appreciate this. I mean. There's nothing better as a player than rivalry games, right?
Yeah.
And not that anybody in our market cares about the plight of the Dallas Stars,
right.
based on our history, but they've never had a geographical rival. Right. Like, imagine what that could be like in Texas,
finally having
a rival. I think it's great for the game.
Yeah, and it'll be right down I-35.
Yeah. Yeah,
might take you a while. See, that it's I-35.
You can drive fast when traffic is actually moving, but
yes.
there are challenges, and the Stars are trying to navigate that as they look at potentially a new arena in Plano, Texas by 2031. We're with Thurman Thomas today. He's going to be a part of the NHL draft this weekend here in Buffalo. Can't wait for that. What else are you looking at with this, like, Sabres team? You've mentioned a couple of times how it was a tough ending, Game 7 overtime against Montreal.
Right.
Just when you observe, whether it's in arena or at home, and through your kids, who are big sports fans too, like, what do you think's that next thing that they have to kind of accomplish as a group to push them even further?
Yeah, you know, and I like that it would have been like to the Eastern Conference Championship, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wish it would have got that far. And I think if we take that next step, then we're right where we need to be.
Mm-hmm.
But that, as far as, you know, Sabres fans and Bills fans, the heartbreak is always there, right? You know, and I think it was a teaching moment for all of us to be like, you know what? Okay. Like I keep saying, I keep wanting to say good football team. I don't know, I'm doing a hockey show, but we have a good team right now. So hey, you know what? Let's build off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's come when it's time for training camp. Let that first day be like, no, it's not going to take a week for us to get it going. It's going to take.
Is that what it felt like when you guys were just going and going and going year after year? That
so was we felt like we can win.
Yeah.
We still felt and had the confidence thinking that we can still win. And so, you know, with the Sabres, I don't know. Is it going to be another goalie? You know,
great question.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
The Sabres started today with $13.8 million in cap space after all the transactions that have happened, the Benson signing the most recent one. And when you look within that cap space, you're still looking at a Krebs deal potentially as a restricted free agent, a Malenstein deal as an unrestricted free agent, and very much temperature is going up across the NHL as teams pursue goaltenders. There's only so many of them that have a winning pedigree, and I think the Sabres are very much in that conversation. Darren Dreger from TSN, by the way, going to join us in the back half of the show to discuss everything that's been going on. We have pictures, or at least a picture. You were suited up as a Sabre at one point in this one, I think. But you also had, and this is very obvious to anybody that's listening to the show.
Oh, my God. Bob Kosciuszko.
Yes.
Yeah.
You had your own show, and this is amazing.
I had McGillney's. Finneganoff. It was Finneganoff, I think.
I think you had McGillney there.
Was it McGillney?
Yeah,
it is McGillney. That's right. Yeah. I was a big fan.
You look so good in blue and gold. This is incredible.
Oh, my God. Who pulled that picture up?
It's producer Sam.
Yeah.
Give him a round of applause.
See, I was all in. I think it was around Halloween.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was all in back then. And
but it wasn't just the hockey. You were talking. Like, this was a show that you were doing all the time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So what got you into that? Like, what, you know, obviously you get in a place and you have success and doors open up and people want to hear from you. But there's also got to be something in you that feels comfortable to do stuff like that. So how did it all happen?
I have no – I just always kind of been that guy, like, to maybe do something different, you know? Yeah, I mean, that's basically what – I mean, you got to see my family. I mean, they're – yeah, when you talk about doing stuff differently, we do it, okay? So it wasn't a problem. I mean, even though I didn't have a big family back then like I do now, but it's always been in my nature to, like, you know what? People like to see something different, you know, and not just kind of like the football player all the time, you know, and hockey was, you know, that was my second sport there. And I knew Alex and, you know, it was great to be around and do it. And so, man, I still talk to a lot of these guys, too.
Yeah.
And that's the good thing about it. The relationship that I built back then, I still have those today. I was here with Rob, Michael Pekka, you know, Dixon Ward was down there.
Yes,
you know, he's one of my friends, you know. And I'm like, and I just the other day, guess what I was watching on television? I went back and watched the 72 shots that Dominique has.
No way.
Yes, I did. I just happened to see it. Oh. I told somebody, said, I think it was 70. Say, no, it was 70. It was 72, right?
I think it was 70.
I said 72, and my son said 70.
This is the four-overtime game in 1994 against the Devils that you're talking about. And it's funny how we all just remember exactly, you know, the the tension that came with watching that thing go. There was a moment in the overtime, one of the overtimes, where Stefan Risché, who was one of the really hot goal scorers in the game at that, I mean, the pass came across. It was like you knew he was there, but the camera wasn't showing him yet, and you see the pass across, and it's like, oh, my God, Risché is going to be wide open for this one-timer. Yeah, and Dom comes across with the glove, and it's like, oh.
We got to win this. We have to win.
I know. But then the heartbreak follows in game seven, right?
Yeah.
That's the beauty. You're so passionate. I love this. What are you looking forward to just being around another event here in Buffalo this weekend and the draft and just kind of, you know, again, dovetailing off of Highmark Stadium opening this week and the passion that seems to be very much alive for everything here in Buffalo right now.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I'm looking forward to be a great weekend, you know, starting tomorrow. I mean, that's just, you know, and it's something that the Buffalo fans want. You know, they want to show their side to the hockey world that, you know, we haven't won anything, but this is how we do it in a way in which nobody else does it.
Yep.
And I'm talking the Sabres now, and I'm talking the Bills, you know, and just kind of see what Buffalo is about, because I tend to believe, like, until you hear it or see it, you won't believe it. And I think when people get the chance to see what this city about and how much craziness goes on, as you can see with the fans during the run, you know, after the division, and see how it is up here.
Yeah.
It's not bad. I can live anywhere I want to, but I chose to live here. I've been here 30 years. I've been here half of my life.
Man.
And it is just, I am just waiting on that moment for just to take one, like, we got it done.
Yeah.
And obviously, I want the Bills to do it first. But I was a little scared coming into the season. I thought the Sabres might go all the way. I was a little scared, you know. But then I was thinking to myself, you know what? Why not have it start off like that so they can have Lord Stanley walking into the new stadium?
Oh, now, that,
I planned it all out.
Oh, my gosh.
I planned it all out, right? Yeah, so it didn't happen. But you know what? This is a great city for sports, and they'll get a chance to see that tomorrow at the draft.
What a treat. Hall of Famer Thurman Thomas in studio today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy the draft this weekend. Obviously, the Sabres are so proud to host this 2026 NHL draft. We've got FanFest and Ticketmaster Alumni Plaza tomorrow and Saturday. There's music and hockey games, a prospect red carpet, and more. You can visit sabres.com/draft for all the info and get a lot more info from our hockey insider, Darren Dreger, when we come back.
Get back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Draft is tomorrow. We don't want you to miss your chance to own a piece of last season either. You can bid on game-worn jerseys. And, oh, we've got the 10-game pack as well for tickets. So we're looking forward to seeing you in the arena this coming season. There's an awful lot to cover here, including tickets and the jersey auction, which, by the way, is closing out on Sunday at 9 p.m. So while you're there, bidding at sabres.com/auction, look into your 10-game plans as well. This is kind of the perfect lead into our hockey insider, Darren Dreger, because, Dreg, so much is going on right now. It's hard to focus on just one thing. So I do want to talk about Byram and Tuck and their departures, but I want to lead with, what do you think is next for the Sabres?
Yeah, you know what? A lot of NHL general managers who are interested in making deals are asking that same question, because in a variety of ways, Jarmo Kekalainen and the Buffalo Sabres are, I wouldn't call them a linchpin, but heavily involved. And Duffer, you know, when you get to this place, you know, prior to the draft, leading up to July 1st, all it takes is one positional guy to go. And then, you know, you see the dominoes fall. And there's been a ton of activity this week. You're 100% right. We all know this. But, you know, what, as an example, is Buffalo going to do in goal? You know, is it a position of weakness? I guess it depends on how you look at it. Would they like to stabilize it? Absolutely. And who'd have thought a few months back that we'd be having a conversation about the availability of a future Hall of Famer in Connor Hellebuyck? So I think that there's an opportunity here for Buffalo to step up and stabilize that goaltending. I believe that Buffalo potentially is a player in Connor Hellebuyck. They're not alone You know, there'd be other teams. I can't imagine Bill Zito and the Florida Panthers aren't in there. You know, Carolina, even though they won a Stanley Cup and Brandon Bussey was terrific in replace of Freddie Anderson, you know, maybe they want to stabilize. But it doesn't sound like anybody has stepped up and made an offer to Winnipeg that Winnipeg can go, okay, you know, we're giving up a guy with a real nice contract here, but we've got to be able to sell it and work with it. And work with it, I mean, sure, preferential would be something that they can insert in their lineup now to get back into the competitive mix. Mm-hmm. The flip side would be, well, if you've got that fourth pick overall potentially in play, which it is there a prospect? Is there one of the goalies that could be included? That's the sort of creativity that we're starting to kind of zero in on now. But it's not just that. You know, what else might Buffalo do? You know, there are teams that are wondering, is Buffalo still actively engaged, you know, in looking at a center? They were a team that was keenly interested in Vinny Trocheck with the New York Rangers. Go back to the trade deadline. Buffalo was interested in Matthew Nyes. You know, could they? So I know I'm being long-winded here, Brian, and getting through all of this, but that's how involved Yarmo is in what is going to push all of this stuff moving forward here in the hours ahead.
So with all that being said, how would you, I don't think grade is the right word, but how would you assess everything that they have done in the last 10 days, going back to the Kessel Ring transaction, which allowed them to move up in the first round to number 20, and then seeing the likes of Alex Tuch go to Washington, the massive deal in many ways with Chicago, where Byram and Greenway go there, but the Hall in return gave the Sabres a lot of space with which to work under their cap and landed them the fourth overall pick. How do you view all of that together?
I mean, strong work, if not excellent work, by Jarmo Kekalainen. And not at all surprised. But again, I want to go back to the trade deadline and, you know, how eager Jarmo was at that point to vastly improve his roster. And it turned out that the roster didn't need a whole lot of attention. But now you get to a place where, okay, you've got Bo Byram, as Jarmo was very candid with the media in his availability, going into the final year, and it had less to do with money, although it's always about money, and more to do with where Bo Byram was positioned in the lineup and the guys that he had to play behind. Okay, we can appreciate that. But if you're Jarmo, why risk a potential devaluing asset or that asset in Byram walking out in a free agency, which everyone expected would happen? That's essentially what he was told was going to happen. And so Jarmo, I think, played this right. I'm told that San Jose would have been the second choice in the Byram sweepstakes, if you will. Makes sense. That's why San Jose traded William Eklund and two other players to the Ottawa Senators to get that ninth pick, right? Ottawa makes that deal with Florida and the Brady Tkachuk trade. Okay, ninth comes back. And Jarmo is sitting there going, well, that's not bad return. You know, get a ninth overall pick for Bo Byram, pretty good return. And then Chicago steps up and goes, okay, no, hold on a minute here. You know, we'll give you the fourth pick overall and this and that and everything else. So how do you argue with that? And the Tuch situation, somewhat similar, right? Buffalo went as far as they were willing to go on Alex Tuch in terms of the contract. $10 million, $10 million per year. That wasn't quite going to get it done. So Tuch decides that, okay, I want to go to free agency. And he gets moved in a sign and trade to the Washington Capitals and gets the mammoth extension that he wants. You know, he gets the money that he feels that he deserves, which is hard to argue. He would have got that on the open market. Effectively, this is the open market. And Washington has done terrific work in preparing themselves now for the post-Alex Ovechkin era by bringing in Jordan Kyrou and Alex Tuch. And I don't think Chris Patrick is done yet either. So terrific management by the Sabres, in my opinion.
Is it not a little surprising to you, though, that Tuch ended up in D.C.? I mean, I guess I was fixated on him heading west because I felt like there were more teams with more dollars that they could allocate. And I could be really wrong on this, but I really felt like Tuch could have hit 11, you know, beyond. But obviously, his agent, and he would have, you know, gone through an awful lot of scenarios ahead of time. But just start with the D.C. Part of it. Are you surprised he landed there?
Like, only because he stays in the East, and it's a team that if you're going to, you know, win the East, you're going to have to go through from a competitive perspective. I guess a little bit surprised, but to be fair, I don't know that clubs worry about that as much as they once did. Okay. I really don't. And that's not a slight on Alex Tuch. I mean, the naysayers out there are going, well, look what happened or what didn't happen against the Montreal Canadiens. You know, what if you get more of that from Alex Tuch? And I'm not in that camp. I still believe that he's got four or five really good years ahead of him. But, you know, Jarmo isn't trying to do the Washington Capitals any favor. You know, he would have had, to your point, lots of conversations with the agent, lots of conversations with all of the teams that had expressed interest. And at the end, you know, it comes down to, okay, what am I getting that I can work with that is higher value than the next best? And it's pretty obvious that was Washington.
Well, you did mention San Jose a moment ago. Are they going to have, this sounds really dumb, are they going to have trouble getting to the floor if any of Greer's ideas don't pan out here on the trade front?
It could, but he, you know, I don't think he's done yet either. You know, again, I mentioned earlier that, you know, we hear that Mike Greer continues to shop that second overall pick. Well, he's not doing that for a collection of draft picks. He's doing that for a player that is going to step in and help Macklin Celebrini and do whatever they want to do to try and get better. You know, there's all kinds of speculation of, you know, could that be a spot where Morgan Rielly of the Toronto Maple Leafs lands, or what is going to happen with Darnell Nurse and, you know, his short team list with the Edmonton Oilers. So I think that Greer very quickly has the assets to bring in some bigger pieces to not only improve his team, but to look after the cap implications as well.
Along those lines, though, do you not think that by July 2nd, there are going to be a lot of teams bitterly disappointed that they haven't, that they either didn't get in on some of the trades they wanted to and then had to go through the reality of not much existing on free agent day?
Yeah, there could be. Yeah, that's fair. You know, I think of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I'm not trying to pile on John Chyka here even a little bit. Like, I tweeted out yesterday that the sense was that, you know, Toronto was getting close on some things. And there was tons of negotiating, tons of conversation yesterday that just didn't materialize, not to say that they won't. I mean, Toronto made the splash with Tampa Bay in the sign and trade, and, you know, they put Darren Radish at great expense on that blue line. I mentioned Morgan Rielly. They're going to get something back coming their way. You know, Jake McCabe, Brandon Carlo, go down the list. But is that going to be enough? As Austin Matthews goes into, you know, two more years left on his contract, is that going to be enough to position the Toronto Maple Leafs into being a team that is going to, again, be playoff worthy or at least contend for that playoff spot? So there's a team for me that I feel is under the gun to do something to remedy their lineup to be better than what they were. So, you know, maybe that's goaltending. Certainly it's defense, but I think that they'd like to add something up front as well. Mm-hmm. And there's ongoing speculation around Matthew Nyes. And I feel like this is Chyka just simply listening, right? Somebody wants to blow his doors off. Okay. But what does that look like? It can't be just a draft pick, right? You know, as right. juicy as second overall would be. So now you've got one and two. Is that enough? Is that enough to go to Austin Matthews and say, okay, we've got the first and the second draft pick here.
Yeah.
We're going to be good in 4 years from now, but you're probably going to be gone. I mean, you know, so that's a team for sure that I feel is probably not sensing the urgency, but feeling it a little bit.
With Darren Dreger, our hockey insider from TSN. Dregs, what's the latest on Jason Robertson?
Ooh. Yeah, I mean, this may take the summer to play out. You know, Dallas is going to make at least one more pitch to try and keep Jason Robertson. I mean, this guy is one of the more consistent performers, period, in the National Hockey League. Duffer, the challenge, though, if you're Dallas, a perennial cap team, is can you afford to invest $12.5 million or more per year on a long-term extension on two wingers? Right? Mm-hmm. And most teams would say no. can't do it. And I think that Dallas would like to position themselves. You know, I already talked about what might become of Austin Matthews. What about Connor McDavid? You know, the Oilers made a splash this week with the hiring of Babcock and DJ Smith, and Connor McDavid now on his media tour talking about how, hey, we're willing to change. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why we want Babcock, is to force us to be uncomfortable at times. Okay, well, what if that doesn't manifest into success? It could, but it may not. You know, now Connor McDavid fully is in control with his contract, and I think Dallas is among the teams that wants to position themselves, because Tyler Seguin will come off the books too, right?
Yeah.
So I think Dallas wants to put themselves in a place where, hey, we need, if we're going to invest that kind of money, we're going to do it at center ice. We're not going to do it with two wingers. So they're going to make an offer. There's got tons of trade interest, as there would be and should be, in Jason Robertson. Yes, of course, you've got the offer sheet threat, which is real with Jason Robertson. And I guess last case would be you go to Arb on a one-year award, and you know, ultimately that positions him to walk out as a free agent, and that's not going to happen.
Also down the middle, the latest then on Larkin and Trocheck.
It feels like those two dominoes, one falls and then the other one probably goes too, right? That's the way it feels. And I don't know that they're competing for the same space, the same teams. I don't. But if you're New York, you know, I know that Buffalo was interested in Vinny Trocheck. I know Toronto has been around Vinny Trocheck. I mean, go down the list. There's a lot of teams. You know, Dylan Larkin's list, I think, is shorter. But if you're Chris Drury, you know, are you, unless you're rock solid, comfortable, certain that the deal you're getting for Trocheck is your best deal, mm-hmm. why wouldn't you wait? You know, maybe the two teams that don't get Dylan Larkin, or four teams, if he's willing to get a little bit more creative, swing back to you and they sweeten the deal. So those are, that's primarily for me why those two guys are obviously aligned, because center ice is pretty thin, as we know.
What do you make of the latest acquisition for the Florida Panthers? Garnet Hathaway today from Philadelphia with the Flyers retaining, meaning a very, very, very low cap hit, just over $1 million for the Panthers on the final year of Hathaway's deal.
Yeah, we talked about it internally here, Pierre LeBrun and Chris Johnson and I, and it just seems like this is a typical Bill Zito deal, right? You know, is Garnet Hathaway going to be as effective as A.J. Greer? Don't know that, but similar type of roles, similar type of players, and there's a cost savings in doing that from Florida's standpoint, right? So yeah, it does make some sense.
Real quick, we'll just try to jump through as many of these names as we can here. Is Tampa the likely landing spot for John Carlson, in your opinion?
Likely. Yeah, it is. Yeah. And Tampa Bay's been quiet to this point too, right? So that feels like the good fit. I mean, when's the last time Julian Breezeball and the Tampa Bay Lightning didn't have their finger on the pulse? And to allow Radish to go the way that he did to Toronto, there's a plan B that they can live with there.
What about Columbus? And we know that at least outwardly they're saying they'll discuss with Werenski once the draft is done what his future is. But there's the Marchenko factor here too, as he can be extended come July 1st and obviously has been significantly underpaid based on his production the last couple of years.
Well, there's pushback from Columbus on Marchenko in that, no, he, at this point, he's not going to be traded. That always makes me a little bit apprehensive. I'm not reporting that as boldly as it sounds. I mean, others have, so we'll have to wait and see there. Zach Werenski is curious. There have been rumblings for several weeks now around what he might want to do. And I had people say to me not that long ago, few weeks back, that probably around the same time that Dylan Larkin news broke that he had requested a trade from the Detroit Red Wings, that keep an eye on Werenski because he might be the next one that does something similar. I don't believe that that's happened formally yet. It has been reported that there is a meeting planned, and there has to be a meeting, but we might be collectively from a media perspective a bit ahead of this one. And then you throw Ken Johnson into the equation as well. So, you know, Donnie Waddell is, he's got a lot on the move, potentially on the move. So something to watch.
Is Nashville's McFarland simply doing warm-up exercises on the trade front by dealing with his old team in advance of potentially something big this weekend at the draft? Are the Predators going to be a newsmaker this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, there is the potential of that, right? You know, if your ownership in Nashville, you don't invest in Chris McFarland, who is a proven hockey executive, in the way that they did, and not just say, all right, you're in charge here. So if you think we need an overhaul or upgrades in certain areas, then have at it, right? And McFarland is new to the job, no different than Jarmo Kekalainen. When he took over as general manager in Buffalo, you'll want to put your stamp on things.
Right.
You know, McFarland comes into Nashville, and I'm sure that, you know, as soon as there was conversation about the possibility, started pouring over their organization, you know, from top to bottom, in areas that I can potentially improve on. And he has an excellent relationship with Joe Sakic, who our understanding is wants to hold down the GM job there for the foreseeable future. So it makes a lot of sense that they'd work together.
Summer plans, Dregs. This is your last visit with us until the fall.
It is, yeah. And I, you know, it's too bad. I know Marty had some family things that he had to look after today, so I was hoping to say so long to Marty and yourself. July 2nd, early morning, no different than any other year. We load Tiny the Great Dane into the back of the truck. Back of the truck is fully, I mean, back seat of the truck. She doesn't ride in the box. But we begin the trek to Manitoba. It's a four-day excursion, Duffer.
So what that'll are the be stopping that, yeah. points?
Sault Ste. Marie day one, Thunder Bay day two, Winnipeg day three, and we're about 3.5 hours from Winnipeg, but we stay the night in Winnipeg so that we can stock up on supplies on our way out of the big city as we head into the prairies.
What's the one supply you can't live without?
Ooh, that's a good question. Dog food.
Tiny does.
Well, she's on a very strict diet, and the food that she eats is hard to get out there. So do have to stock up in the big metropolis of Winnipeg.
Yeah. Well, we can't thank you enough for everything this year. As always, enjoy the draft, enjoy free agency, but most importantly, enjoy the summer. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, stay tuned. As we started, let's finish. Buffalo's still, they're going to be busy. They're not done yet.
Darren Dreger, our guest, as always, hockey insider from TSN. We'll wrap up Sabres Live after this. Stay with us.
Get back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Get your seats locked in for the 26-27 season with the Sabres 10-game plan. You can get per-game savings, playoff ticket priority, and a guaranteed seat location. You can choose from two plans, each featuring one matchup against either Tampa or Montreal, plus 9 more games, and you can learn more about it and secure the plan at sabres.com/10. Now, after the draft is done this weekend in Buffalo, Sabres will host their annual development camp for the young players in the organization, including some of the new ones we expect from this year's draft class. It happens over at Lecom Harbor Center starting Monday afternoon with a 2 p.m. practice and concluding on Thursday morning at 9:30 with the annual scrimmage. So those are things to look forward to. Obviously, the draft is starting tomorrow night right here at KeyBank Center, 7 o'clock. And what is it going to turn out like? Who will join the organization? Think about it. It was on this date in 2010 that the Sabres drafted Mark Pesek in the first round. Where would we be if we didn't have Pisser, as he's known, and the butt goal? That was a legendary moment. Everything starts from the draft on out. And ultimately, the characters that have been a part of this organization, like friend of the show, Jonas Enroth, who's 38 today. Happy birthday to Jonas. Tomorrow on the show, Shayna Goldman will join us, and she is fired up, has been all week with the Sabres moves. Will there be more Buffalo transactions between now and tomorrow? That fourth overall is in play, according to Darren Dreger just moments ago. So we've got lots to discuss. And the latest from the NHL is that Hendrix Lapierre, according to Elliot Friedman, is on the move from the Capitals to the Penguins for picks. So stay with our Sabres social and Sabres.com for all the latest regarding the team. Enjoy the rest of the day. It is draft day tomorrow. We'll see you then.